What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ross Tucker, and be sure to check out his Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Ross, good to have you on the show. I guess since we were talking quarterbacks real quick, I don't know if you're into the mock draft stuff or anything like that either. Are you surprised someone like Quinn Ewers wouldn't just go portal and try to make some money that way and then try the NFL a year later?
1,000%. Yes. I mean, to me, if you're not a first-round pick as a quarterback, projected first-round pick, or you think you had a great chance to go in the first round, you should absolutely go in the transfer portal. You know, those guys are now getting, you know, I know there's a lot of numbers out there, but realistically, those guys are getting between $1.5 to $3.5 million a year. I think some of the numbers aren't real accurate. And, you know, Quinn Ewers would be about as sought after as anybody. Now, the only thing I don't know is how many programs still need a guy. You know what I mean? Like, I know Penn State's backup. He hit the portal. He's from right around here, and he would play like 5 to 10 snaps for Penn State. They would bring him in for special situations. He hit the portal right when the playoff run happened, because he wanted to get his spot somewhere else before it was too late. And he signed with Missouri, and he's evidently getting $1.5 million from Missouri. So he's down there with you guys, and I presume he'll be their starting quarterback. His name is Bo Prabula. He reminds me a lot. I don't know if you guys remember this guy from college. He kind of bounced around the NFL, Trace McSorley.
Yeah, I remember Tracy.
You know,
I mean, another Penn State guy. Yeah,
undersized guy, but a winner and fast, and that's kind of what Prabula is like. If there's any Mizzou fans listening, I think he'll do well there. But the only thing I would say about Ewers is maybe he, you know, it took him a few days to do this, so maybe they looked and saw what was out there, and maybe nobody had a need where they would give him like what Carson Beck is getting, $3 million or whatever, to go to Miami. Maybe Ewers couldn't find that, but unless you're a first-round pick, I would highly recommend at the quarterback position in particular hitting the transfer portal. First of all, you know, the reason to go to the NFL from college used to be because you couldn't get paid in college. If you can stay in college and get paid, like, I'll go back right now.
Do you still have some eligibility?
You're in college and you're getting over $1 million. Can you imagine how fun college would be if you were getting $1.5 million to play football? Like, I'd wake up in a ditch somewhere. Like, that would be unbelievable.
Just passed out in some drained pool.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys want to come over into my hot tub? I bought an off-campus mansion. You want to come over to my house? No, it's not my parents. It's mine. I bought it. It's my own money. I mean, it's like incredible. So, yeah, I think Ewers is probably – here's the problem. You guys know this. You're either a first-round pick or you're like third or fourth, because you're not going to take him in the second round unless you think they're a starter. And if you think they're a starter, someone's going to take him in the first round. You're not going to take a guy in the second round to be a backup. You're just like, those guys end up falling, you know, every year. Whoever, like, name the guy, Spencer Rattler, whoever, like, any guy that fits that category, you look, next thing you notice, they're not getting drafted until like the fourth or fifth round.
Let's take a look at some of the games this weekend. We can get to the Chiefs and Texans here in a minute, but obviously the single biggest game of the weekend is Ravens-Bills and a possible future opponent between the two. It seems like the national narrative, Ross, is the Ravens are a bad matchup for the Bills. The Bills are a bad matchup for the Chiefs, and the Chiefs' best matchup of those two is probably the Ravens. Is that kind of how you see it? Because obviously I think those two teams are pretty even between the Ravens and Bills.
I think the Ravens are better. I think the Bills have the advantage of playing at home. I mean, you look at it, and it's like the Ravens have six All-Pros. The Bills have one, Josh Allen. Like, that's crazy. And the Bills have some good players, but they don't have the talent level that the Ravens do. I also think the Ravens, you know, with their ability to run it with Henry, they really have a formula that could beat anybody. It's funny. I don't know if we talked about this last week, but I have a betting podcast that I do on Tuesdays. It's called the Even Money Betting Podcast. And on it, my co-host, who's, you know, a big numbers guy, he's a professional bettor, he says that the Ravens are by far the best team. And the logic behind that, they average, guys, more than half a yard more per play than any other team in the NFL. That's super impressive. The thought process is that the Bills being like plus 24 or whatever they are in turnover margin, that's great, but there's a lot of variance there, and that doesn't, you know, you could have a game like Packers-Eagles, where the Eagles win the turnover battle 4-0, or, you know, Herbert throws four picks when he's only thrown three all year, meaning that it's not really a predictive stat. I think the exact quote he gave was, the Ravens won 12 games and should have won 15. The Chiefs won 15 and should have won 12 because of how many of the one-score games the Chiefs won. And we've talked about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not realistic to win 100% of those. So I thought that was fascinating. And so I'm really interested to hear what the betting line would be if it's Baltimore in Kansas City next week, because a lot of those betting lines are based on yards per play and certain statistical measures like that are not considered, you know, prone to variance, right? It's not like, well, it could go either way. No. They've run thousands of plays this year, and they average more than half a yard more than any other team. That's the best team, which I thought was fascinating.
I definitely think, Ross, there's a good chunk of Chiefs fans that would look and say, okay, in a way, I almost want Baltimore to look great against Buffalo, and then everybody says, oh my gosh, this Baltimore team is unstoppable, and then the Chiefs get to actually play an underdog role again in the AFC title game. I think people here would welcome that.
Well, and I have a tough time picturing the Chiefs losing, because I just think whoever wins that Bills game against the Ravens, that's going to take so much out of them, right? I mean, so first of all, the Chiefs are going to have an extra day to kind of rest and prepare. And then secondly, that is going to be a war. That's going to be like, as good of a – this is maybe as anticipated of a divisional round matchup as you'll see with the top two vote-getters for MVP. And what's interesting is I go on in Buffalo on Tuesdays. I'm actually going on in Baltimore later today. It's like a crushing, devastating season for whoever loses this game.
Mm-hmm.
But ironically, whoever wins the game, they're going to feel great about it for like 48 hours. And then it's, well, we still got to get over the Chiefs hump. And I think that's asking a lot. To win this game Sunday night and then go to Kansas City and win in Kansas City, that would be super impressive by whoever does it. And frankly, I think the Ravens would have the better chance. It's interesting to hear what you guys say, because the Bills always beat the Chiefs in the regular season for whatever reason. And it feels like the Chiefs have the Ravens number. Whereas I look at it and think, man, I could see a scenario where the Ravens were able to finally get the Chiefs with Derrick Henry and with that rushing attack.
When we look at the rest of, like, see, this is what it is like when we get to this Texans part, and for Goldeneye, for the Ravens, it's like they've stopped Derrick Henry in the postseason, for one, and we've always said, and I think, Ross, we talked about it with you after the Buffalo loss the week after. We both feel like the one big thing that I think is undervalued in this is Sean McDermott has learned that he has to do everything to win. Like, if it's 4th and 2 from your own 35, you might just have to go for it. Like, he's finally learned that you can't give Mahomes a second chance.
Yep. I'd like to think that Harbaugh knows that too, or should know that.
Yeah.
You have, and honestly, if you're the Ravens and it's 4th and short, especially, how are you not going for it?
Yeah.
With Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and that rushing attack. I do think on some level you're right, though. The Ravens are a really bad matchup for the Bills, because the Bills, they want to play a nickel. They think they have the best nickel back in the league in Taron Johnson, number 7. They want, and I know he got banged up last week, but they want him to be out there as much as possible. Well, the Ravens aren't going to let you do that. The Ravens have, like, at least 2 big bodies, meaning 2 tight ends or a tight end and that fullback, Patrick Ricard, at least 2 of them out there on every play. And sometimes they'll go 3 or 4. And especially without Zay Flowers, I would think that they would just try to run the ball right down the Bills' throat, and they might be able to.
We're talking to our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, Chiefs-Texans, I know we're talking AFC title game and potential matchups. Should the Texans be getting a little more attention, I would say? We know they played the Chiefs back in Week 16. It was an 8-point win for Kansas City. Some elements of those teams are the same. There's a few changes. Some guys are healthier than they were back then. The Chiefs are as healthy as I think you can be as a playoff team, frankly. Is this Texans team, in your opinion, capable of hanging better than they did in Week 16?
I think so, yes, because I think they have a little bit more confidence now based on how that game went last week, right? You know, you win by 20 points, you win a playoff game, especially one where you were the underdog and people were counting you out. Now those guys have that belief. You know, it's no secret, CJ Stroud will have to have one of the best games of his career. And the Texans will have to find a way to be able to run it a little bit. Their best chance for success is probably defense, right? I mean, you know, somehow get a pick six or a strip sack of Mahomes. The Texans are elite at edge rusher and at corner. Absolutely elite. And by the way, that's not great for the Chiefs with their offensive tackles. So the Texans need Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson to totally, thoroughly dominate that game off the edge, make Mahomes' life miserable, get a strip sack, maybe Stingley or Laster gets a pick six. I just don't see the Texans scoring that many points against the Chiefs' defense now that the Chiefs are returning to almost full health.
Are you surprised that Andy Reid is still kicking around DJ Humphries or Joe Tooney at left tackle?
Well, that is if you think that he really is still kicking around.
Yeah. I think they still want DJ Humphries. I think they're really still looking for a reason. That. You think they're just going to start Tooney?
I think it'll be Tooney at left tackle, Caliendo at left guard, because they clearly were performing better those last couple games offensively with those guys there. Now, the thing that's weird about that is it's not like a perfect controlled scientific experiment, because they also have got Hollywood Brown back. But if you look, it's funny because I just finished recording my fantasy show, the Fantasy Feast podcast. Those 2 games since Hollywood Brown came back, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, has the quickest time from snap to throw in the NFL. So it's funny because we all think of Mahomes as extending plays and Mahomes running around and making them reckless. Nobody is getting the ball out of their hands since Hollywood Brown came back from injury than Mahomes. So how much of that is because of Hollywood Brown? How much of it is just because they know Tooney's not really a left tackle that's going to be able to hold up in pass pro, 40 times a game for extended time? So it's very, very interesting to see sort of that that situation. I would think that they would start with the way they've been going, and then if it's not going well, maybe then put in Humphreys. But I'd be surprised if they just put Humphreys out there. But, you know, I mean, it's been 23 days, so maybe.
All right, last one for you before I let you go. Coaching carousel, we know one vacancy has been filled. Another one opened up this week with Dallas. Real quick, what do you think ultimately happens with the Raiders job and the Cowboys job? Those are the two, I think, most interesting in terms of the wide reach maybe of who they could hire.
Yeah, I think the Raiders is going to be Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator. I think Brady's going to get him. And I mean, I think that's basically all there is to it. Brady's kind of doing a full court press. And I think as a result, he's going to be able to get Ben Johnson to be the guy in Las Vegas, which is just gigantic. Not good for you guys, because I really do feel like Ben Johnson is special. I think he's as good of a coordinator as we've seen in recent years. And I just think that I think Ben Johnson, like, the time is now. And I think it's either going to be Chicago or the Raiders. And I think they're going to get him with the Raiders because they're going to be able to pitch him on, hey, we'll also help you. You can have some say in who we bring in as the GM, which is not the case in Chicago, where Ryan Poles is the GM. And also, I don't know. You know, maybe he loves Caleb Williams. Maybe he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas with the Raiders, he could have some input on the quarterback that they bring in.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Appreciate it as always, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.